from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Off and rolling midweek hump day. It is Wednesday, July 31st, 2024. That is the date. It is time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn. Gotta love it. It is day one of fall camp for Memphis football. Some new faces, but I always love to see it start up. But alongside me right now, as always, you heard him for 2 hours. You got three more with him. That's Connor Dunning on XZC Dunning 929, executive producer of the show. Connor, what's happening, man?
What's happening, man?
Nothing much.
People can get 2 more hours of me tonight at Celtic.
So you're back.
The return of the king.
The return.
They called me in. I'm going in. I'm also going to
Was it a call to the bullpen?
To the bullpen? Yeah, Kevin called the bullpen. I'm going to be accompanied by, though, local hero Isaiah Downey. Come get an autograph.
You know what? I said you were going to buy his drinks last weekend. I think this is the first opportunity. If you're going to be a Celtic tonight, buy a beer. Buy a beer for Isaiah Downey.
We have a tab.
Well, you could add to that tab, because you may blow through that tab with 2 separate guys, unless you each have your own.
Well, you know, Gabe, considering talking is a big part of me hosting trivia, I'm not going to get slammed as I'm doing it. So, yeah, we usually don't go through the tab. Most of it's been on food.
I think people are fine with slurred words.
Slurred words at trivia?
At trivia night.
You've never been to trivia night. You've never been to trivia. Gabe, they take it very seriously.
No, I hear you.
As they should.
I hear you. Now, we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on overreaction, not an overreaction. And we will be discussing what happened today for the Grizzlies. Luke Kennard finally is signed after, what's it been, 31 days since the Shams tweet or the Woes tweet where they said they were going to try to iron out a contract. 31 days later, Luke Kennard is officially signed back to the Grizzlies. 1 year, $11 million. We'll talk about that. Is it too much money? What is this do in the way of them getting into the luxury tax? There's a lot of implications for it. But I think most people should understand bringing that type of shooting back to the Grizzlies is very damn important. And also, we'll talk about Team USA. They ended up putting the finishing touches on a 103-86 win over South Sudan. We know that during the exhibition, they only won by one, 101-100. But Steve Kerr, the head coach for Team USA Men. Ran out a different starting lineup. Did you get to get a look at it there, Connor?
I did.
Do you know who was there? Who was omitted completely last time?
Yes.
Jason Tatum started. He earned his minutes by playing zero in the first game, apparently.
He earned his minutes by having a Twitter outcry.
So I think there needs to be a discussion about Steve Kerr, as we have had plenty of them. But we need to have a discussion about Steve Kerr as the Team USA men's basketball coach. I have serious questions, concerns about him. Maybe not right this second, but going forward. I mean, there's way too many things that bother me about the experience we've had with him through the FIBA World Cup and now into these Olympics. I mentioned Memphis football's opening fall camp. I'll give you my five pressing questions at the bottom half of this hour. We'll count them down from five, and we'll get to number one. And number one will be the most important question heading into this football season, where expectation is as high as it ever has been for this program. 23 of 30 first place votes in the AAC preseason media poll. So with that comes a lot of pressure and a target on their back. How are they going to handle that? We'll talk about the five questions that will help them handle that if they answer them correctly. Now, as far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock, David Cobb from CBS Sports, talking college football and college basketball. That will be fun. And then 6 o'clock, full disclosure to those that need a little inside baseball for this. I've been talking with Parker about coming on the show for about the last month. And finally, the one thing we needed to happen to get him on the show happened today. Luke Kennard signing. So Parker, as soon as we got this shout, I texted to him. I said, go ahead. You're going to be our 6 o'clock guest. He was ready to go. He's been waiting in the wings for about a month at this point. He's been waiting patiently. I have been waiting patiently for Luke Kennard to sign. We'll hop into the Blitz around 6:30, where I want to play a sound from John Morant's new agent. Do you know who John Morant's new agent is?
Mike Miller.
Sports management. Yeah, you may know him. I think
he's
most people should be familiar with him, but he had Shams on his podcast. I think it's OGs or whatever it's called, with him and Udonis Haslam. But Shams basically asked Mike Miller about Ja and how he's progressing, and Mike Miller gave a very pointed answer to it. And he thinks very highly of the way Ja is progressing. I'll just leave it at that. Now, as far as the Olympics today, the only thing I really saw that I think is worth noting, Katie Ledecky wins her 12th medal, 8th gold. And did you see the stat on
the graphic that they put up?
My favorite stat about her in the 1,500-meter race, which, by the way,
long.
I can't imagine swimming 1,500 meters. An Olympic pool is 50 meters. You have to do 30 freaking laps on that pool. No chance I would get out of that without sinking to the bottom of that pool and potentially drowning. You'd have to get me out with a lifeguard.
I think the longest I ever did was like 400, maybe, in like a race. And I remember thinking I was actually dying by the end of it.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's nuts.
But I was the IM. I wasn't just.
But it's the 1,500 freestyle. It's a long-distance race, and Katie Ledecky is phenomenal at it. And she's swimming one way while all the other swimmers are swimming the opposite direction.
They had to zoom out as far as they could go.
You have to. It's how it is every time we see her
incredible.
Do that race. But do you know, of the fastest times in history for the women's 1,500, do you know how many of those records she holds?
20.
The top 20 are all Katie Ledecky.
It's
That's
insane.
Crazy.
It's insane.
And I like hearing some of the analysis while she's, you know, doing this race. Apparently she gets like cramps in her side, but she just has to take herself to like her happy place, I guess, if we're doing the Happy Gilmore reference here. She has to take herself to her happy place because she says around the 1,000-meter mark, she just gets this just nasty cramp down the whole left side of her body.
That's insane. How do you feel if you're a swimmer and you're giving it your all, you finally made it to the Olympics, it's your moment, and then you realize that she's just lapping you?
Well,
has got to be demoralizing.
No, what's depressing for those racers, for those swimmers in general.
You're like, you're not even on TV.
You get into that race and your gold is the silver. Your gold is the silver. You know you're not going to beat Katie Ledecky. There's a 0.0% chance you're going to beat Katie Ledecky. So you're just fighting for a silver. You can't even reach the pinnacle of that particular race, of that part of the part of your sport.
You know, even
that's
gotta be
hard to like. Obviously, you can find plenty of reason to go get a silver, go get a bronze, go medal in that event. But the fact that you know you can't win the gold is probably depressing on its own on its own face.
Even, you know, Michael Phelps is the GOAT of swimming. No questions asked.
Yes,
he's the
course.
GOAT. But even in those races, I went back and watched last night because I wanted to feel the glory. That's my point. I wanted to feel the glory of U.S. swimming again last night, so I went and watched some of his old races. They could have talked themselves into, like, I got a shot.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets a cramp. Maybe he's a little banged up. Who knows?
And
maybe
it's short
he has
distance.
A bad jump.
It's short distance. Maybe he screws it
Ledecky,
up on the turn.
You have just no shot. It's over.
Well, the problem
over.
Is... the
you're
problem
not
is,
even on the screen.
The problem is when you're making that many turns, you know that she's eventually... Even if you have a lead, she's going to make up that at some point. Like, she's just... She is consistent the entire race.
It looked like she was warming up. If you tuned in after it had begun, you were going to be like, oh, she's warming up. Because you quite literally didn't see anybody else in the pool. It's an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and you didn't see another soul.
She's freakish. She's absolutely freakish on that 1,500 meter. It's just not even fair to the rest of the world.
I heard speaking of swimming, I heard a very, very funny story last night about Michael Phelps. So apparently his kid has begun swimming now, and he is blowing other kids out of the water, no pun intended.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I've been to many swim meets in my life, many. And just trying to imagine being a parent who shows up for like an 8-year-old swim meet.
And you're racing against the Phelps.
7 a.m. 7 a.m. Cold, wet. You're in this pool area. It smells like chlorine. You're tired. You got to watch these kids swim. And then you look to your left and Michael Phelps is standing there. And you're like, am I still asleep?
Yeah.
And then you look at the scoreboard and you see the name and you're like, oh, no.
My kid has no chance.
Oh, no.
My kid has no remote chance in this race.
Would you just leave?
No. I mean, I'm still going to support my child. I'm still going to support my kid. But I just know that my kid is fighting for second place.
It just has to be a mind deaf to walk into a swim meet for a child, and you look over and you see arguably the greatest Olympian we've ever had.
Not even
just chilling.
No, to be honest with you, it's not arguable.
Different sports.
29
yeah.
medals.
Technically, yeah.
I'm sorry. That's the most decorated Olympian of all time. You cannot beat that. No one's going to be able to beat that. Well, actually, we'll see. But it's just it's hard to imagine getting
yeah.
close to that.
It's hard to imagine. It's
just
I'll never
just
forget
pure
watching
dominance in every facet of that sport. Breaststroke, backstroke, whatever, freestyle, didn't matter. All the relays, he had the United States winning everything. Every single time that they jumped into a pool. But yeah, if I was a parent watching my kid at a meet and I look over and I see a Phelps swimming and then I see Michael Phelps cheering him on.
Is it just like a slow motion car crash for you because you know what's coming? You're
a little
like,
depressing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my kid's gonna come home in a bad mood. They're not winning this race. They're not winning. But let's go ahead and off the top of the show, as we do every single Wednesday, let's get to overreaction, not an overreaction.
Now, it's overreaction or not an overreaction.
We are the Wild and Crazy Guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
Gabe, it finally happened. Luke Kennard is officially re-upped with the Memphis Grizzlies on a contract that we may not have been expecting. 1 year, $11 million. The Grizzlies now have their 15 active roster spots filled and seemingly have their 10-man rotation figured out. With that, this is the best Grizzlies roster in the Zach Kleiman era. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. Now, I want to talk about Luke Kennard on its own laurels here. $11 million for 1 year. This is more money in less years than I thought. I thought he was going to want to, you know, have some a little bit of safety. He's going to have a safety net. Get a couple more years so he can stay in Memphis for a little bit longer. That's usually what guys want. You want more years. You want to be able to feel safe in your position. And to get 1 year... $11 million, kind of strange. Still under the 14.7 that he was going to be owed if the Grizzlies opted into that contract. So they ended up saving money ultimately by bringing him back for $11 million. But I thought this was more money than he was going to get for you. You look at some of these other guys around the NBA. Tyus Jones, $3.3 million. Gary Trent Jr., he got a minimum deal. A lot of guys got minimum deals where usually they'd be making somewhere around $10 million. I thought Luke Kennard, through this whole process, the reason I thought it was taking so long is the Grizzlies were looking around the NBA and they were realizing, hey, I may be able to drive this price down a tad bit because no one else is really in the Luke Kennard sweepstakes. We're the only one there. But again, they get him at $11 million. It puts them $1 million into the luxury tax. Now, for those that are asking about aprons, relax. They're not over the first apron even. You have to be $7 million over the luxury tax to get into the first apron. They're only $1 million over. So this is more than maneuverable. They did a good job with this ultimately. And if everything went badly, and I don't think it will, around the trade deadline, that's when the cap locks in. That's when your luxury tax implications lock in. If everything went badly, can we be honest about Luke Kennard at $11 million? Tradable contract, movable contract. And you could probably go get into the sweepstakes for another decent size contract, decent player, if everything went badly. But I don't expect that to be the case. But ultimately, it provides exactly what the Grizzlies need. Shooting. He shot 48% from three. He has shot 48% from three in a Grizzlies uniform. Last 5 years, do you know who's at the top of the list from three-point percentage of players that are able to be part of that list? Luke Kennard, 45% the last 5 years in the NBA. Since 2019, he is shooting 45% from three. They need that. And because we look at the Grizzlies, they have historically struggled with elite shooting. They've not finished in the top 10 of three-point percentage since the 2006-2007 season. And then also, this is kind of sad when you think about it. The highest finish they've had with Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins in this era was 2019, or since 2019, it's 17th. That's the highest they've been in three-point shooting. That's not good enough. But having Luke Kennard, having Desmond Bane, having more guys, G.G. Jackson I think could be a help to this, having more guys that can put up three-pointers at a high clip and make them at a high clip is going to help with that. Now, the reason I don't think this is an overreaction, you said this is the best Grizzlies roster in the Zach Kleiman era. I just look at it, and I think there's a lot of things to like. They have the defense with Vince Williams Jr., Jaren Jackson Jr., potentially Zach Edey. I think Desmond Bane can be a plus there. Marcus Smart's a former defensive player of the year. You have two former defensive players of the year. You have more than enough creation now where, you know, even 2 years, 3 years ago when they were 50-plus win teams, second in the West, they didn't have enough creation in the half court. Now, when you look at it, we're talking about Ja Morant can create with the best of them. Desmond Bane has taken strides to be a creator in his own right. Jaren Jackson Jr. was one of the best ISO scorers in basketball last year. Luke Kennard can create. They put the ball in his hands. He's done a good job in a Grizzlies uniform of making that happen. G.G. Jackson, he's 19 years old, and he has more room to grow. But are you going to try to sell me that that's not an offensive creator? That's a definition of an offensive creator. And I even think Marcus Smart can bring you along in that type of category. Right, and I think that like when we look back at those rosters from a little bit ago, 2 and 3 years ago, the DeAnthony Meltons of the world, the Kyle Andersons of the world, I love them.
Watch
and
your mouth.
I think they're great players, but they didn't bring the type of offensive creation that you were looking for that I think you have on this roster right now. And the other part of this that I really am happy about, that I think the Grizzlies and Grizzlies fans should be thrilled about, is you have found numerous examples of winning at the margins. G.G. Jackson has a cheap contract that's 4 years from now. That's when it expires. But Vince Williams Jr., cheap contract 4 years from now. Scottie Pippen Jr. could eventually be on this active roster, and we're talking about a cheap contract that would probably be 3 or 4 years. I just really like where this Grizzlies team is at. They have managed their money relatively well. Now, they have had some misses. They had to move off of Zaire Williams. I understand that. But I think they've recouped very well considering all this. And then when you look at their 10-man rotation, let's just talk about it. I'm just going to bring up the names. Starters, Ja, Dez, Jaren, Marcus Smart, Zach Edey. Really good starting five. Then the backups, the next five. Brandon Clark, Vince Williams Jr., Santi Aldama, Luke Kennard, G.G. Jackson. That's damn good. And you're starting to see a bunch of national reporters that cover the NBA turn and say, damn, that could be a tier one team in the Western Conference if they stay healthy. So to answer the question, I absolutely think this is the best roster that Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins have had as a duo in their era.
Oh, without a doubt. I don't even really think it's a question at this point. Luke Kennard is just the cherry on top. I think you could probably have made the argument even if Luke Kennard didn't end up back on the Memphis Grizzlies. I actually think that we were going to be in the discussion, hopefully, barring injury, which is the prerequisite for every single Grizzlies conversation that we have is, barring injury, yes. They'll be in the conversation for best Grizzlies team ever, in my opinion. If everything goes the way it should this season, it may not be record-wise because it's going to be hard to win 56 games, but roster-wise, I do think that they will be in the discussion for best team that they have ever had. And again, that starting five, and then the next five, it's about as good as you can do in the NBA right now, especially with working around the margins
and the
way the Grizzlies have been doing.
And let's also think about the cost control they have with
it. It's been great.
The cost control in G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. as your next five in itself is a massive win, and I think there are numerous teams in the NBA that are trying to find that same formula, right? The Grizzlies found it with those two guys. There's a lot of teams in the NBA with the new tax aprons, with the luxury tax the way it is, with how punitive it is. You need contracts like that, and the Grizzlies have them. They are in a very, very good spot. Don't sleep on where they're at right now.
I think that people, too, need to... It's just we've all got to come down from the conversation that 11 through 15 truly matters, because those 10 guys that you just listed,
right,
those are the 10 that matters. If we're talking 11 through 15 next year, something wrong happened. Somebody got hurt. There was a major injury. I think this is a very good deal for the Memphis Grizzlies. It's a good deal for Luke Kennard in general. I think it was surprising, but not bad. It wasn't a bad surprise. Well, when you first got the notification, you're like, thank God Luke Kennard is back on this Grizzlies team. The long wait is over. And then you go, 1 year. 11. Okay, this is interesting. Why? And you kind of start asking yourself, why? Well, I think it allows Luke Kennard to test the market again after this season. I also think, though, the biggest reason why... The Grizzlies wanted to maintain some flexibility. We all thought that they were going to give Luke Kennard security over money. Turns out they wanted to maintain flexibility while still letting him have a little bit of money, but they got $3.8 million savings out of it. Good deal. And if things go wrong or they believe, hey, the three-point shooting, it's great. It definitely opens up the offense in the half court. He plays well with these guys, but ultimately, we need another piece. We need somebody else to come in to help this happen. It's a very easily movable contract.
Yeah.
Very easy to move around the deadline. Yeah. I don't have an expectation for them to move it, but it leaves the option on the table, which is what I ultimately think the Grizzlies wanted. I was surprised it was 1 year, but it's not a bad surprise. It's just, it's 1 year.
Yeah, but you have him locked in for the year, and then he'd be off the books going into next year. Expiring contracts, too, around the trade deadline.
And what do they have to do?
Very valuable. Soon? And they have to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. soon. But let's also, just last thing here about this bench unit, of the potential bench unit. Brandon Clark, Vince Williams Jr., Santi Aldama, Luke Kennard, G.G. Jackson. Four of the five of those guys, if you're worried about bench scoring and bench offense, four out of five of those guys are double-figure scorers. Brandon Clark has done that in his career. Santi Aldama has done that in his career. Luke Kennard certainly has done that in his career. And G.G. Jackson scored 14.6 points per game last season in his rookie season when he was 18 years old. You're going to have the bench scoring to go with it. Now, some people have been a little bit weird about the idea of who's the backup point guard. I don't know why they're getting sort of beside themselves about that. One, you're going to have 50 games worth of Scottie Pippen Jr. I don't necessarily expect them to use a whole bunch of those. But you can definitely extend minutes out for Ja Morant or Dez or Marcus Smart. You can get them to run with the second unit. That should be no issue at all. I think it's a non-issue.
Can we be honest about it? There are some people that just want to complain about this team, and they can't complain about Luke Kennard and the contract anymore. They can't complain about Zach Edey and injury conspiracies anymore. So the next thing they're going to start talking about is the backup point guard position. It's as simple as that. There are some people that are just never going to be happy with this team, and the faster you mute these people, the happier you will be.
They have three great solid ball handlers: Ja Morant, Dez, Marcus Smart. One of them will get run with the second unit to get them initiated.
They're going
to
be fine.
And then, if worst came to worst,
You have
Vince,
Scotty.
Vince and Scotty can take some of that role, and I'm not going to be that concerned about it. I just think that, you know, when you look at this 10-man rotation, what it could be, that's what you need to pay attention to. Stop worrying about all the ifs, ands, or buts about it. We'll move into the season. We'll see how it all works.
Where it matters is that how many games do you expect Ja to play? That's really what it's going to come down. It's going to be, do they have somebody that can run the offense when Ja's not going to play? Because I think it's fair to expect him to play 65 games. It's been basically the average of his career.
They kind
of
do, though. Like, they Desmond Bane can take that load. Marcus Smart can
take that load.
I don't
disagree. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, it's really not that big of an issue. It just shouldn't be that big of an issue. They'll figure it out.
And then eventually, again, you have Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yes.
waiting there on a two-way.
Yes.
If you need to convert that at some point, make something happen with that, get him on an active roster so he can play playoff minutes, you can do that at some point. But we're going to see how this whole thing shakes out as we get into the season, because I still think there's a couple decisions they have to make. Are they going to keep Mamadi Diakite on the active roster? Are they going to try to move John Conchar? They could free up some spots and find another guy to play point guard. We'll see.
For sure. And then to the overarching point, though, about, I do think it's absolutely the best team that Kleiman has had. I think I said this with Jeffrey, there are still three question marks, but they're positive question marks in that I lean toward it's going to work out. You've just got to see whether GG, Vince, and Zach Edey hit the way that we expect them to. And if they do, that's where I think the team will be in conversation for maybe best team.
Reach the expectation that's been set, and you'll be fine.
Yes, totally agree. All right, next up, the USA men ran out a new lineup today against South Sudan. It was Steph, Devin Booker, LeBron, AD, and Jason Tatum. Tatum, of course, got a full 0 minutes in the team's opening win against Serbia. Now our eyes turn to Steve Kerr. My question for you, Gabe. Steve Kerr is clearly uncomfortable with his role as the USA men's head coach. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction in the slightest. We've seen this the entire time. You look at him in the exhibition games doing the full platoon swaps and not knowing who to start and who to sit. It's ridiculous. And then, let's be honest, I will say, good on Twitter and social media, but also bad on Steve Kerr for listening to Twitter and social media as much as he has. Joel Embiid's been the topic of discussion on social media about how bad he's been playing. He moves him to the bench, even though he started him for 6 games, right? He has started him consistently, hasn't moved off of him, but now that there's such an uproar, he moves off of him, puts him with the second unit. Jason Tatum didn't freaking play, right? And no one expected Jason Tatum to be a starter in this South Sudan game, right? Like, no one expected this. But because there was such an uproar, what does Steve Kerr do? He overdoes it. He went over the top. Oh, I have to start Jason Tatum. I felt so bad that I have to make up for lost time and start Jason Tatum. It is very clear to me that Steve Kerr is not handling this role very well. He's letting the politics and social media run his team more than he can run the damn team. That's where we're at. If you are looking at this in any other way, I think you're wrong. Steve Kerr is way too caught up in how the politics are being run in Team USA and how much people are talking about the way he's coaching this team. And I think it's distracting him on how he's actually coaching this team, what they're going to run, how tied together they are. I think he is somewhat of a distraction right now. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch how he maneuvers game to game.
I just need him to make a decision on the starting lineup and stick to it. Just, you should know your starting lineup by now.
Can I be honest? I'm tired of the matchup-based stuff. Stop doing the matchup-based
stuff. Yeah, your Team USA.
Again.
It should matter.
I said this yesterday, but Team USA should not be letting other teams dictate matchups.
Yes.
They should be the ones dictating matchups.
Yes. Yes. 100% agree. Listen, the team didn't start slow today, at least. That's good.
And they won handily,
but it was still disjointed a bit. It still didn't have much flow on the offensive end. I would personally like to see the big three guys play together a little bit more. I understand Devin Booker's actually been really good for this team.
Yeah.
But if you slid him to the bench and you slide KD into the starting lineup, I don't think you lose that much for Team USA. And if anything, Devin Booker will help that already awesome bench unit continue to be awesome. They are the reason that they have been able to separate in all these games, other than LeBron James playing most of the time. But that bench unit has been extremely valuable for them. And I just think if you flip KD into the starting lineup and Booker on the bench, I do think it opens up some things a little bit more on the offensive end for the starters. It's just been odd. Like, the Embiid thing, in my opinion, I think he's hurt, and that's why he hasn't been very good. And that's why if I'm a 76ers fan, I've been you should be losing your mind over this entire summer that Embiid isn't just trying to get healthy and in shape for next season. It would drive me insane that he is playing for Team USA. Because, and you know, he needs to get ready for next season. This is a huge season for Joel Embiid and his legacy. The fact that he's clearly hurt and still trying to play basketball, I would be losing my mind. I need Kerr, though, to figure out what his starting lineup is. We are now two games into the Olympics, the actual Olympics. We're two games into it. You've had all the showcases. Your offense shouldn't look this disjointed, and your rotation should be set.
Yes.
To your point, you are Team USA. Other teams should be freaking out about the matchups. They should be changing their lineups to try to match you, not the other way around. It's driving me crazy.
Yes. And
I know that all of it might be for naught because they're going to win anyway.
Everybody keeps saying they seem disjointed. It's not a surprise why they're disjointed. They don't know who's going to be out there, when they're going to be out there.
What did he see after last game?
He said he wanted to get Steph Curry going.
How many points did Steph Curry have today,
Gabe? He was 1-for-9, 0-for-6 from 3 with 3 points. As Connor sips his coffee on the other side.
You know what might help Steph Curry? Putting the ball in his hands.
And then also,
let him be the point guard.
What really bugs me, first of all, Kevin Durant, with the way he has played in an Olympic uniform for Team USA.
Awesome.
He should be starting.
He should be starting.
Like, there's just no doubt about that. And then overcompensating by putting Jason Tatum in the starting lineup, leaving Drew Holiday and putting him on the bench, that was disrespectful to Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday's done nothing to deserve to be on the bench at this particular moment. It's just the guy can't pick what he wants. He's way too swayed by public opinion, and he's way too swayed by politics. It is very clear to see. He's uncomfortable.
If you listen very carefully, Gabe, you can hear somebody in Boston on sports radio making the point that Drew Holiday is a team leader and a hero and gave up his roster spot, his starting spot for Jason Tatum.
So Jason
if you listen just hard enough, you can hear Bill Simmons in the distance.
Yeah, you might be able to. Is Russillo in there? Is he talking back and forth with Bill Simmons?
Probably so.
Yeah. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, it's the first day of fall camp for Memphis football. And every single year I give you the 5 questions that will make or break the season for that team. It's a massive year with a lot of implications that could be longstanding. There are 5 questions I need to bring to you when we come back. The best place to bet on them and bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet all your favorite international teams and all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton to soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all. So don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to sign up and start betting the games today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now it's the first day of fall camp for Memphis football, and it's a massive year on the way with a lot of implications. Can they get to the college football playoff? Can they win an American Athletic Conference championship? They're certainly picked to do so. 23 of 30 first place votes headed their way at the AAC Media Days and the AAC preseason media poll. And then with that, if they do have the type of season that we expect them to have, can they make themselves more attractive to bigger conferences? So this year, a lot is riding on it, and I have to ask some questions. I have to ask some questions. These questions could potentially, if answered right, get them over top. Let's start at number 5.
Number 5.
Transfers. What are you going to do? How are we coming along? You have a lot of transfers along the O-line. Who's going to step up? You have a bunch of transfers in the DB room. Who's going to step up? D-line, linebackers. There's a lot of new pieces. And we know, yes, from a name value, from a production value standpoint.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You expect these guys to make something happen, but you don't know what they're actually going to look like till they get into a Memphis uniform. I'm going to highlight four transfers for you that I think will make an immediate impact and could be absolutely fantastic. I'm going to start in the secondary. Kobe Miner from Indiana. This guy I expect big things from. I know he hasn't been on campus for a long time. It's going to be his first fall camp here in Memphis. He's going to have to deal with the sweltering heat. He's not in Indiana anymore. But at the same time, this is a guy who, when he played against Ohio State, when he had to take on man coverage against Marvin Harrison Jr., the first wide receiver off the board in the 2024 NFL draft, he held him to two catches for 18 yards. This is a high-level transfer that I think could make a defensive coordinator's life easy. You throw him into the boundary, you put him in man coverage, they have a man coverage specialist. And that doesn't mean he can't run zone coverage, but this is a guy who can really D you up, get in press man, and get his hands on you, and you feel comfortable about it. He's about 6 foot. He's about 180 pounds. I really want to see it out of this guy. Can he make something happen immediately upon stepping on campus here at Memphis? Also, Cortland Marsh is a guy that a lot of people aren't talking about, but I heard Ryan Silverfield in an interview with Bluff City Media really rave about this guy. He's a transfer from Samford, so he comes from the FCS level, but he was very highly productive. He was a starter last year. They feel really highly about him. He's going to play some safety, some strong safety, some free. Can he be a guy who can hold up in coverage as well as come down in the box, make some tackles, and fill, right? This is a guy I want to see. Can he make it happen? Now, the other two guys that are of importance in the linebacker room, I feel pretty confident about this guy. He was leading tackler for Tennessee. But Elijah Herring, what do you look like? What is this going to be like? You have him next to Chandler Martin, first-team All-AAC performer last year, a guy who was at media days. He's one of the team leaders. He's going to be a captain. Yeah, fill in behind him. Definitely make sure that he can have the same type of production. But can you be the type of linebacker that rounds out that linebacking core and makes it the best in conference? I feel pretty confident that that will happen. But Elijah Herring is another guy that can sway either way. And then this defense could potentially be a whole lot better if he lives up to the hype. And then the final one I want to bring up, something we're not talking about, is pass rush. Reggie Grimes from Oklahoma. Can he step up? You have on one side Cormonte Hamilton. He's from the city. He was at Ohio State. He transferred over. I expect him to be one of the most productive guys on that defense, especially along the D-line. He can stop the run. He plays five technique, which is outside the tackle. He plays D-end. He, I think, will be a decent pass rusher. But can Reggie Grimes come in and be a guy who helps out his secondary by getting after the passer? We always blame it on the secondary. We always go after the secondary and say, well, they're not holding up their end of the bargain. They're letting other quarterbacks throw for 400 yards. You know what insulates a defensive backfield? A good pass rush, a good defensive line who can press the pocket and get after the quarterback. Reggie Grimes needs to be that guy.
Number four.
Offensive line, a lot of different pieces. This is my calling card here. I feel really confident about where we're at, but my question is, who steps up? Who's in that starting lineup? I think you could potentially have some rotational pieces. I am of the opinion, I don't think you should rotate offensive linemen. I think it messes up flow. It messes up, you know, how these guys are playing next to each other. You make that offensive line a little bit more uncomfortable. But you guys have guys like Trent Holler, who started 30-plus games at Marshall. Kedrell Lewis started 30-plus games at UL Monroe. You have a guy in Jalen Nichols, who would have been the starting left tackle at South Carolina had he not torn his ACL before last season. And he was with Mario Anderson Jr., who's now in that backfield. Can these O-linemen step up, create nice rapport, have good chemistry? Fall camp is a great testing ground and a battleground for that. But what I like about this offensive line is you do have about eight guys who have a lot of experience who feel like they can start along it. So with that, you're going to have a lot of competition. And competition breeds the best in all. I feel good about where this O-line is at. Don't feel great. I still think it's a question, but that's going to lead me to my next question.
Number three.
Can the offense stay balanced? We know through the first 2 years of Seth Hennigan's career, he had good stats, but I think his stats were limited by the fact that he didn't have an 1,000-yard rusher and that run game couldn't get going when it mattered. Last year, you had Blake Watson, and he hit everything. He could split out. You could run him off tackle. You could run him between the tackles. You could run power. You could run counter. You could run zone, and he could do all of that for you. And he was also a workhorse. You didn't really need other backs in there. Now you have two backs that I'm very confident in. Mario Anderson Jr. ran for 700 yards in the SEC last year. He can break arm tackles. He's more your traditional back in between the tackles. He can definitely get you some of those tough yards. Then you have Sutton Smith, who's the lightning to Mario Anderson Jr.'s thunder. You can get him off tackle, get him some screen game. I think this offense can be balanced, but we know how important it is for Seth Hennigan in this pass game for it to be balanced. Seth Hennigan had his best year as a collegiate last year, 66% completion percentage, a career high in passing yards, a career high in passing touchdowns. The reason that was the case is because they had a 1,000-yard rusher. They need to replicate that.
Number two.
All right. Secondary. Now, I talked about some of the names, Cortland Marsh, Kobe Miner, Taj Rael from Old Dominion, coming in, trying to make this thing better. Julian Barnett, who's been on campus, was a transfer from Michigan State a couple of years ago. That's a guy they expect to come along, be a rotational piece. They have some depth there. But here's my question for the secondary. Can you be average? It's that so. Can you be average? I feel good about this front seven. I watched Jordan Hankins stop the run, have great schemes to stop the run. I watched this linebacking core fill and stuff people in the Iowa State game. Abu Sama, who is the running back for Iowa State heading into that AutoZone Liberty Bowl, had two 200-yard performances. And you know how many yards that Iowa State got in that AutoZone Liberty Bowl? Zero. A goose egg. I feel good about this front seven stopping the run. But the secondary gave up 440 yards and I believe three or four touchdowns in that AutoZone Liberty Bowl game. It was enough to win, but that's way too damn much. If you hold them to around 300, you run away in that game and you blow out Iowa State, and it's even more of a statement. Can you be average? I want to have fun here because I always have fun here, but since 2018, there's been one defense that has been top half of the American Athletic Conference statistical race. That defense was 2019. What happened in 2019? This Memphis football team reached a height they've never reached. They went to a New Year's Six Bowl, played Penn State in the Cotton Bowl. It is not that hard of a formula. If this team, if this defense is going to be a top half defense, the secondary has to take it upon themselves to go make that happen. And if they make that happen, I think we can reach for the stars. I think we can talk about 11 wins and an American Athletic Conference championship. I think we can talk about a college football playoff, potential away game in the quarterfinals. If this defense can just be average, if this secondary can just be average, this team can be as good as we think they can be.
Number one.
And number one, I think it's more abstract, right? It's more about the mind games of being this team with extra expectation, right? How do you handle the expectation? How do you handle being the team who's always going to have the target on your back? I remember back when I played, when we played UCLA, when we played Ole Miss, when we played Houston, those teams, those premier matchups we had on the schedule, we were never caught with our pants down. We were never caught with not enough energy. Practice that week. You're all hyped up to even go to practice, even though practice is tough. Every single team in conference, you know what they're doing? Exactly what we did for those matchups. You're the gettable team. You're the team that's going to make them make a statement. You're the team that they're practicing as hard as they possibly can for. So you're going to get everybody's best shot. Road, home, neutral, doesn't matter. They're coming after you. You're being chased. Can you handle that pressure? Pressure bursts pipes and it makes diamonds. Which side of that does this Memphis football team fall on? I want to say that they'll make a diamond out of this whole thing. I want to say that they'll be able to handle it. But let's be honest, in the Ryan Silverfield era, we've never seen a team with this type of expectation. Ryan's never dealt with this type of expectation. I think it goes for coaching staff, support staff, everybody on that team. How do you handle being the best? How do you handle being out in front of everybody else? They're coming after you. You are no longer a team that's not thought of. You're no longer under the radar. You are right there at the top. Everyone wants a piece of you. And also, let's think about this. Five of those games, people are going to be hyped up. The fans will be against you. Five of those games, your five toughest games are on the road. Florida State, Navy, South Florida, UTSA, Tulane. It's going to be hard. It's not easy to be a good team. It's not easy to have expectation. But you have to handle it. There's some teams that can. There's some teams that can't. Which side does this team fall on? So, yeah, there we go. Round out the top five. There it is. Number one was how do you handle expectation? Two, secondary. Three, how balanced is this offense? Four, offensive line, who steps up? Five, with these transfers, how do they find their way in a Memphis uniform? It's going to be very, very interesting to watch. But throughout the season, you're going to have a chance to have some libations. You're going to be drinking probably while you watch some Tiger football. Like, let's be completely honest about it. But there's only one place in town that will give you the options that you need. And that's Old Dom. That's Old Dom. I can't believe I just said that. But I know how tempting it is when you go to your local liquor store. You buy that national brand, but go ahead and buy a local brand with Old Dominic. Whatever that bottle contains, they have the spirit that you want. Gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. I've latched on to the 901 bourbon, the 90.1 proof bourbon for the city. It's the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in this city. The distillery's right here. Shouldn't be a surprise that it's so fresh and so full. But the distillery's right on the riverfront. 305 South Front Street is where you can find them. They have events all the time. And you can check all of those events out at olddominic.com. And you can book a tour and tasting at olddominic.com. And I suggest going and doing that tour and tasting because you'll figure out what you like, right? They'll give you a taste of everything that they offer, and then you can decide what you ultimately want to buy. And you can ship Old Dominic spirits everywhere. You can get them as a gift. I always get them at the holiday season because my family absolutely loves the bourbon that Old Dominic carries. And always remember that they are official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. They have two bar locations inside FedEx Forum. And whether you're going for a concert or going for a game, make sure you stop by one of those bars and you can get a craft cocktail made by none other than Old Dominic, our hometown distillery. But regardless, Old Dominic wants me to tell you to come by and say hi. Now we need to go ahead and get into hour number two. And opening hour number two, David Cobb from CBS Sports. He's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.